ஸ்ரீகுருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரியமத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குருச்சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. ஜிஜ்ஞாசாதிகரணம் அதாதோ ப்ரஹ்ம ஜிஜ்ஞாசா. ஜன்மாத்யதிகரணம் ஜன்மாத்யஸ்ய யதஃ. சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாதிகரணம் சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாத். சமன்வயாதிகரணம் தத்து சமன்வயாத். ஈக்ஷத்யதிகரணம் ஈக்ஷதேனா சப்தம் கௌணச்சேன்னாத்மசப்தாத் தன்னிஷ்டஸ்ய மோக்ஷோபதேசாத் ஹேயத்வ அவசனாச்ச ஸ்வாப்யயாத் கதிசாமான்யாத் ஸ்ருதத்வாச்ச. ஆனந்தமயாதிகரணம் ஆனந்தமய அபியாசாத் விகாரசப்தான் நேதி சேன்ன பிராச்சுர்யாத் தத்தேதுவ்யபதேசாத் மாத்ராவர்ணிகமேவ ச கீயதே ந இதர அனுபபத்தேஹ வேதவ்யபதேசாச்ச. காமாச்சன அனுமானாபேக்ஷா அஸ்மின் அஸ்ய ச தத்யோகம் சாஸ்தி. திஸ் இஸ் தி 19th சூத்ரா வி ஹவ் பீன் சீயிங். அஸ்மின் அஸ்ய ச தத்யோகம் சாஸ்தி. திஸ் இஸ் த லாஸ்ட் சூத்ரா ஆஃப் திஸ் அதிகரணம். அண்ட் திஸ் அதிகரணம் ஆஸ் வி செட் ஹேஸ் காட் 8 சூத்ராஸ். அண்ட் இன் த ஃபஸ்ட் 4 வி எஸ்டாப்ளிஷ் தட் தி புச்சம் பிரம்ம இஸ் ஸ்வதந்திரம் ஒன்லி and not paratantram. It is independent and not dependent. And in the next two sutras, that is sutras 5 and 6, we established that the anandamaya is paratantram, is dependent only and not svatantram. And now in the last two sutras of this adhikaranam, we are establishing that anandamaya is not brahman. Why? We gave the reasons. Reason one is in the 18th sutra, that is in the last sutra, it was said that anandamaya is savikaram because of the suffix maya. Maya to ananda, that suffix. Whereas brahma is nirvikaram, savikara anandamaya and nirvikaram brahmacha. They can never be identical. Now we are giving the final reason in the 8th and the final sutra of this adhikaram. அஸ்மின் அஸ்ய ச தத்யோகம் சாஸ்தி. And we were doing the general analysis of this sutra in the last class, where we said Taittiriya Upanishad itself talks about the resolution of the entire universe into Brahman. Samastasya prapanchasya brahmani pravilapanam. And this pravilapanam is mentioned in Taittiriya Upanishad in the second chapter, Brahmananda Valli. In the 7th section, yadahe vaishaye tasminna drishyenaatmye nirukte nilayane bhayam pratishtam vindate ataso bhayangato bhavati. Where it says that the jnani resolves the whole universe in Brahman so that advaitam nirgunam Brahman alone remains. And when we talk about the resolution of the world pravilapanam, we don't talk about the physical resolution, which we cannot do, but only by understanding. For example, by knowing the clay, which is the essence of the pot, I come to know that there is no substance called pot. And pot is only a nama rupa. And it has only nominal or verbal existence, and it does not have substantial existence. This negation of substantial existence of pot, that is called dissolution of the pot. In the same way, Taittiriya Upanishad talks about the resolution of the world into Brahman. It is nothing but the understanding that there is no substantiality in the world. And it is nothing but Brahman, which is its adhishtana. World has got only verbal existence. We have already used the terminology in previous Upanishads. Vacharambanam vikaro nama deya. Only namesake. And it says, if whole world is resolved, what type of Brahman will remain? Adrishye, Anatmye, Anirukte, Anilayane, Abhayam Pratishtam, Vindate. The remainder Brahman will be formless, propertyless, bodiless, supportless, invisible, inexplicable. Unsupported Brahma alone will be left. Sajatiyam, Vijatiyam, Swagatam, Veda Rahitam Brahmayeva Avisishyate. All these terms I expect you to know. Sajatiya, Vijatiya, Swagata, Veda Rahitam. And once a person is established in that Brahman, Abhayam Pradishtam Vindate, one will get Nirbhayatvam, because there is not a second thing to frighten the person. And the Upanishad confirms this by showing the contrast also in the next line of the same Upanishad. It says, Yada ke vaishaye tasminudara mantaram kurute atatasya bhayam bhavati. On the other hand, if a person accepts even the slightest difference between Brahma and the world of Jiva, even in the form of part-whole difference, for example, the world is part, there is whole and all that thing difference, it will be also cause for bhayam or fear only. Udaram antaram kurute, alpam api antaram yaha kurute, tasya bhayam bhavati. That means there should be no world different from me and even a god other than me. Only when I, the world, God, all three are resolved into one nirvikalpam brahma, then alone it is called moksha. This triputi should converge. This is the discussion in the Taittiriya Upanishad Brahmananda Valli. And the main statement to be remembered in this discussion is the sutra is Adrishye, Anatmye, Anirukte, Anilayane, Abhayam Pratishtam Vindate. And when the Upanishad talks about the dissolution of the world, it talks about the dissolution of the five koshas also. Etamannamayam Atmanam Upasankramati. That means Annamaya, Annamaya kosha is dissolved. Etam Pranamayam Atmanam Upasankramati. Pranamaya kosha dissolved. Etam Manomayam Atmanam Upasankramati. Manomaya kosha also is dissolved. Etam Vijnanamayam Atmanam Upasankramati. Vijnanamaya kosha also is dissolved. Etam Anandamayam Atmanam Upasankramati. Anandamaya kosha also is dissolved. And in the context, Upanishad talks about the dissolution of the Panchakoshas also. Therefore, the Upanishad talks of the world dissolution, then all the Panchakoshas dissolution. And in this context, the most important point that we should note is what? The Upanishad talks about the dissolution of the Anandamaya Kosha also, which is more relevant to us based on last week's discussion. What do we achieve by that, by negating it? The idea is Anandamaya is dissolved into Brahman. Anandamaya is the dissolved and Brahman is the dissolver, as it were. Therefore, dissolved has to be different from the locus of dissolution. Just as if salt is dissolved into water, salt cannot be equal to water. One is object of dissolution and another is the locus of dissolution. Therefore, Pravilapita Anandamayaha, Pravilapaka Brahmanaha Vinnaha Eva. So the dissolved Anandamaya, Pravilapita Anandamayaha, has to be different from Pravilapaka Brahmanaha, Brahman in which it is dissolved. Therefore, in Brahman, no koshas are there. Even Anandamaya kosha is dissolved. That is the essence of this sutra. And what is the conclusion now? Tasmat Anandamayaha na Brahma. Brahmani prapilapitatvat. Like what? Anandamaya koshavait. Or Annamaya koshavat, Pranamaya koshavat, Manomaya koshavat, Vijnanamaya koshavat. We can say any of the koshas like all of them. So Anandamaya kosha is also not Brahman because it is dissolved into Brahman. This is the general analysis. Now we'll come to the word analysis. This sutra has got five words. What are the words? Asmin, Asya, Cha, Tadyogam, Shasti. These are the five words in this sutra. And Asmin means Asmin Prakarane, in this context itself, which refers to Taittiriya Upanishad Brahmananda Valli Prakarane Eva, in that Prakaranam itself. And why does Vyasacharya uses the word Asmin? He could have very well used in Brahmavalli Prakarane, right? Because it is, he is borrowing it from Brahmavalli. He is only interpreting Brahmananda Valli's that statement. Because already the Anandamaya that we are discussing belongs to Brahmananda Valli. Therefore, in that very Upanishad itself, not in some other Upanishad, Vyasacharya is very clear. Asmin, whatever has been discussed earlier, in that context only, that belongs to Brahmananda Valli. Therefore, in that very Upanishad itself, but not in some other Upanishad or in some other context. And the next word is what? Asya. Asya means Anandamayasya, of the Anandamaya. That is a Shrati Vibhakti anyway. Then Cha. Cha means also. Not only Anandamaya, Pranamaya, but Anandamaya also. Then Tadyogam. Tadma Yoga means here Yogam refers to Layaha, Brahma Layaha, or Atma Layaha, or dissolution, resolution. The word Yoga has different meanings as we know. Karma Yoga, for example. And in that context, if one takes Yoga as Layaha, then it would mean what? Dissolve all karmas. So don't do any karma. That's what it would mean. So one should be very careful. Even worse is Jnana Yoga. Jnanasya Layaha means what? Dissolves all Jnanam, all knowledge. So Yoga here means Layaha. Layaha here means merger. Become one or united. And Tat. Tat means Tat Brahmani. Tasmin Brahmani. Yogaha Layaha. Tad Yogaha. Dissolution in Brahma. And Shasti. Shasti means teachers. Who is teaching? We have to supply the subject here. Upanishad teachers. Upanishads. Upanishad Shasti. So what is the final meaning of the sutra now? In this Brahmavalli chapter, Brahmanandavalli chapter itself, the Upanishad teaches dissolution into Brahman of Anandamaya, or if you want to rearrange the words, the dissolution of Anandamaya in Brahman is taught in this sutra. But the simple meaning, the dissolution of Anandamaya in Brahman is taught in this sutra. This is only the statement. And the idea to be arrived is what? Since the Upanishad talks about the Anandamaya dissolution into Brahman, it is clear that Anandamaya and Brahman are different. Anandamaya Kosha and Brahman are different. Anandamaya is like sugar that is different from the coffee in which it is dissolved. So with this, the last topic of this Adhikaranam is also over. Thus, in the Anandamaya Adhikaranam, three ideas are conveyed. What are those? Number one, Brahman is Pradhanam and Anandamaya is Apradhanam. Anandamaya is not Brahman. Then two, Brahman is primary and Anandamaya is secondary. And three, primary Brahman is not identical with the secondary Anandamaya. That is the essence of the sutra. Now we'll make a conclusion of this entire Adhikaranam, the full Adhikaranam, Anandamaya Adhikaranam. In this Adhikaranam also, the topic is only Brahman, which is started in the first sutra, Atato Brahma Jignasa a Brahma Sutra. Brahman is to be known. Then Brahman is Jagat Karanam. Then Brahman is known through the Shastram, Shastra Yonitvat. Then in all the later Adhikaranams, the aim of Vyasacharya is to show that Brahman alone is the central theme of the Upanishad. He has to prove this because the Upanishad chooses different terminologies in different contexts and therefore it will create doubts. So in the fifth Adhikaranam, Upanishad did not use the word Brahman. In the Chandogya Upanishad sixth chapter context, it used the word Sat. We went through a lot of discussion at that. And therefore we had a doubt whether Brahman is the central theme or Sat is the central theme. Therefore, Vyasacharya had to clarify that Sat is nothing but Brahman. Therefore, the central theme is Brahman only. The only mischief the Upanishad does is what? The Upanishad did not use the word Brahman, but says, Sadeva Somya Idamagra Asit. Therefore, in the fifth Adhikaranam, Sat was established as Brahman. And in the sixth Adhikaranam, Anandamaya Adhikaranam also, Upanishad uses the word Brahman, but it says Brahman is the tail of Anandamaya. And therefore, there is room for confusion again. That is, if it is said to be a tale, it is not at all important. And therefore, Brahman seems to be secondary, being Puccham, the tale. And in the Anandamaya discussion, it was established that Brahman is primary. Tattu Samanvayat, fourth sutram. And if Brahman is primary, why should the Upanishad use the word Puccham? It was pointed out that the word Puccham does not have the meaning of tail, but Puccham means support, Sarva Adharam, Vishwadharam. And why such a meaning? Because the tail of a bird is very important to support it to fly, even the tail of a plane. So also, Brahman is the support, but it's only an example and should not be extended literally. Whenever Upanishad or Shastras use example, it is relevant only in that context. One should not extend it further. Like, for example, calling a person the pillar of an organization. He is not a pillar. Jada Vastu carrying an organization. Brahman is tail, and tail supports, and Brahman supports. Therefore, Adharatva Rupa Guna Samanyat Puccham is equal to Adharam Brahma. Once we understand that Brahman is Sarva Adharam, then it will become a primary theme of the Upanishad and not a secondary theme. So this is the discussion Vyasacharya wants to bring about. Finally, we will put the whole Adhikaranam in a technical format now, because we know there are definitions for an Adhikaranam. It has to fulfill so many factors, as we have done in the previous Adhikaranams also. So what is the technical format? We have to fit every Adhikaranam into five factors. What are those? Vishayo Vishayaschaiva Purvapakshastatottaram Sangatischeti Panchangam Shastredhikaranam Sprutam Vishayaha. Actually, this shloka we will keep quoting in every Adhikaranam, so that we will become the very familiar with the factors necessary for an Adhikaranam to fulfill the name Adhikaranam. First one is Vishayaha, the subject matter. Here the subject matter is Puccham Brahma, occurring in the Taittiriya Upanishad, Brahmanandavalli. Tasya priyame vashiraha modo dakshina pakshaha pramoda uttara pakshaha ananda atma brahma puccham pratishta. That puccham, brahma puccham. That puccham brahma of Taittiriya Upanishad, Brahmanandavalli, is the subject matter of this adhikarana. And second is samshayaha. In the shloka, we said it is vishayaha, the doubt. The doubt is whether Puccham Brahman is Swatantram, Swapradhanam, primary, independent, or Paratantram, or Apradhanam, or dependent, secondary. And the third one is Purvapakshaha, the view of the opponent. Whoever does not accept Vedanta, what is their view? It can be anyone who opposes Vedanta, he is called Purvapakshi. His view is always wrong. He says Puccham Brahma is Paratantram, secondary. Kasmat Puchatvat. Because Go Puchavate, the tail of a cow. So he narrates like that, and so it says secondary only. This is the third factor, the subjection by the Purvapakshi. Then fourth is Siddhanta, Uttaram, the conclusion of Vedanti. That is what? Puccham Brahman is Swatantram, Sarva Adharatvat. Vetirekena Annamayavate, unlike Annamaya, Pranamaya, and all that, Puccham Brahma is Sarva Adharam, not a tail. It is the support of everything. So, in four statements, we crystallize our analysis. So, to be precise, Puccham Brahman is the topic, and our view, it is primary. So, Purvapakshi says it is secondary. And we take our view because we understand Puccham as Adharam, Brahma is Pradhanam. Therefore, Sankshepam Vistarabhyam Jnanam is knowledge. Knowledge is only when one can present an idea elaborately as well as succinctly. Each sutra is establishing everything in a succinct manner, but the explanations are very elaborate. And the fifth step then is Sangatihi. We have seen in the previous Adhikaranams, the Sangati. The Sangati step is purely a technical step in which we have to prove why this sutra comes in Brahma Sutra, why it occurs in the first chapter of Brahma Sutra, then in the first sutra also, in the first pada of Brahma Sutra, first quarter, ఆల్ దోస్ థింగ్స్ హ్యావ్ టు బీ డిస్కస్డ్. అండ్ వై ఇట్ అకర్స్ ఆల్సో ఇన్ ది ఈక్షతి అధికరణం ఆర్ ఆనందమయ అధికరణం. They are the analysis. Therefore, one has to justify the existence and the position of the adhikaranam. It is sangati. And that being very technical, we will skip sangati in every adhikaranam hereafter. I only mentioned about sangati in the previous two adhikaranams just only to show what sangati is. Now we will not be doing the sangati in future adhikaranams. We are going to see in the rest of Brahma Sutras. Even Shankaracharya does not give in his Bhashyam. It is done by the sub-commentators only. And if you know that is justified, that is enough for our discussion. With this, the Anandamaya Adhikaranam is also over. Now we will enter the seventh topic or the seventh Adhikaranam. And sutra-wise, it is the 20th Sutra of Brahma Sutra. This is called Antara Adhikaranam. Antaha Taddharmopadeshat. That is the Sutra. Antaha Taddharmopadeshat. 20th Sutra of Brahma Sutra. Now, as usual, we will do a general analysis first. This is a small adhikaranam consisting of only two sutras. Since the first sutra begins with antaha, it is called antara adhikaranam. The shruti vakyam which is analyzed in this adhikaranam or the vishaya vakyam is from Chandogya Upanishad, first chapter, sixth section, sixth mantra. And also from the Chandogya again, first chapter, seventh section, fifth mantra. Because Chandogya may not be familiar for a lot of people perhaps, and some of you might not have even attended those classes, and even those who attend might not have attended might not be remembering. I will first summarize the subject matter here. And subject matter in these two sections is what? Sagunam Brahma Upasana. Sagunam Brahma Upasana is the subject matter here. And we can also say Ishvara Upasana. So the Sagunam Brahma or Ishvara is to be meditated upon in two different locuses. First is the Adidaivata Saguna Brahma Upasana, wherein the locus is external. And the second one is Adhyatma Saguna Brahma Upasana, where the locus is internal in the body. And in the chapter 1, section 6 of Chandogya, Adidaivata Saguna Brahma Upasana, and in seventh, this next one, next section, Adhyatma Saguna Upasana is given. Naturally, since we talk about Sagunam Brahman, Brahman is endowed with attributes or virtues. So, Kalyana Guna Sampannaha. It's not Nirguna. It is Kalyana Guna Sampannaha. And many attributes are mentioned. And we can refer to seven important attributes of Ishvara. Sapta, Kalyana, Guna, Visishta, Saguna, Brahma, Upasana. And since we talk about Ishvara, Ishvara is not having any negative attributes, but Ishvara has got all seven positive auspicious attributes. And what are those? Seven attributes in each of Adidaivata and Adhyatma Upanishad Upasanas. That is what we are going to discuss now. And we should remember, in both the Upasanas, the locus alone is different, whereas the object of Upasana is same, which is what? Which is Ishvara. And now we'll enumerate the seven attributes of Ishvara in the Adi Daivata Upasana. This we have seen in Chandogya, but I'm just only bringing it back again for the benefit of those who might not either remember or who have not attended those classes. Number one, Aditya Purushatvam. Ishvara as located in the sun's orb or in the solar disk. So upon the Aditya Mandalam, Surya Mandalam, we have to visualize Ishvara. And second one is Hiranmayatvam. Ishvara is golden colored. Skin shines like gold. Bhagavan has got eternally golden skin. It doesn't fade. The whole body is golden. Hiranya Smashruhu, that is his facial hair, is Hiranya. Hiranya Keshaha is head hair, body hair. All are golden. Apranakat, up to the nails, it is gold. And Suvarnaha, everything is golden for the Lord. And the third one is Pundarikam Akshatvam or Kamala Nayanatvam, Lotus Eyed Lord. Govinda Pundarikaksha Rakshamam Sharanagatam Pundarikaksha. In the Bhagavad Gita Dhyana Shloka also, நமோஸ்துதே வியாச விஷால புத்தேகே புல்ல அரவிந்தாயத பத்ர நேத்ர. The petal of the fully flowered lotus flower is large and long and sharp, and Ishvara has got the eyes like the lotus flower, long eyes up to the ears. Rakta ambojaha, red lotus also, that is like the petals of red lotus, shining eye. And fourth factor is urdva loka kama ishvaratvam. Ishvara is the lord of the higher lokas, urdva lokas, Bhuvar Loka, Piyar in Bhuvar Loka, then Bhuvar Loka, Suvar Loka, Mahar Loka, Jano Loka, Tapo Loka, Satya Loka, all of them. And Kamaha means the sense objects or sense pleasures in all those lokas. Ishwaraka, who is the Lord, controller of the higher lokas and the objects there and all the sense pleasures. Not only he rules the higher lokas, whoever wants those pleasures, the Lord can give those pleasures. That is why he is called Kameshwaraha. That is one of the names of the Lord, Kameshwaraha. He can give pleasures by mere sankalpa matrena. Sarvam kaman dadati, sarvan kaman dadati. All kamas he can fulfill. And the fifth factor is sarva papa rahitatvam. He is free from all papas. Chandogya Upanishad gives a special name for that. Tasya ud iti nama. Ud means beyond. Beyond all the papams. And the sixth factor is sarvatmakatvam. The Lord alone is the form of everything. He is Vishwarupaha, Virat Rupaha. Upanishad says, Tasya Richa Samacha Geshnav. Geshnaha means the Vedas are the limbs of the Lord. In short, the whole creation, Shabda, Artha, Vakprapanchaha are the limbs of the Lord. As said in the Vishnu Sahasranamam, Bhupadav Yasya Nabihi Viyata Suranilas Chandra Suryav Cha Netre. Everything is the Lord. So Sarvatmakatvam. And the seventh virtue is Sarva Vibhudimatvam. All the glories of creation belong to the Lord only. As beautifully mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter, Yadyad Vibhutimat Sattvam Srimad Urjita Mevavam. Tattat yeva avagachatvam mama tejamsha sambhavam. And whatever glory is seen anywhere in creation, they are all my glory only. And in Mundaka Upanishad also, yes sarvajnaha sarvavit yasyaisha mahima bhuvi divye brahmapure heshaha yoman yatma pratishtitaha. Wherever glory is there, that glory belongs to the Lord only. In the Upanishad, it is given in a particular way that suppose there is a poor musician, Brihadaranyaka, we saw that. There is a poor musician who sings the glory of a king. He is a veena player also, to get some gifts from the king if he sings. Tadye veenam veenayam gayanti. The Upanishad says, he does not sing the glory of the king, but through the king, he sings the glory of the Lord only. Therefore, Rajastuti also, Ishwarastuti eva. Not only that, when the king gives him gifts, money, whatever it is, the money also doesn't come from the king, it comes from the Lord only through the king. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Yo yo yam yam tanum bhaktaha, shraddayarchitu michyati, tasya tasya chalam shraddham, tame vividhamyaham. Sataya ashraddaya yuktaha tasyadharana sasyaradhana mihate labate chatata kaman mayaiva vihitantitan. Whichever deity you worship, all that worship goes only to the Lord alone. Akashat patitam toyam yata gachati saharam sarvadeva namaskaraha ishwaram prati gachati. Therefore, pitru namaskara, raja namaskara, Guru Namaskara, all Namaskaras go to Ishwara only. And whatever benefit they get also are from Ishwara only. Therefore, Sarva Vibhudimatvam, all glories belong to the Lord only. So these are the seven glories of the Adi Daivatam Ishwara Upasana. Similarly, we have seven glories on Adhyatma Upasana also. Many are same and common, some are new. We'll see that also. Number one is Akshi Purushatvam. the Lord is not seen outside in this, you know, in this upasana, but is seen or imagined to be present in our own eyes, called Akshipurushaha. And then Hiranmayatvam, the same as seen before in the Adhidevata's case, same thing here, all over golden, shining. And Puntari Kakshatvam, also same as before, Raktambojam Nayanaham. So that too, not only this thing, Vikasita Raktambojam Nayanaham, fully blossomed red lotus petal eyes, Vikasita. And fourth one is, instead of Urdhva Loka, here it is Adho Loka Kama Ishwaratvam, one who is the Lord of the lower lokas, as well as the sense pleasures therein. Here the percentage of pain may be more, but the percentage of pleasure will become less and less compared to Urdhva Loka, but still it is also the law. And again, Sarva Kama Rahitatvam as before, Sarvatmakatvam also as before, and Sarva Vibhudimatvam also as before. So these are the seven rishus here. Now we'll do an analysis of the Sagunam Brahma only now. So from this, one point becomes very clear. And what is that? Brahma Sutra is not confined to Nirgunam Brahman only. Very important point. Because everybody thinks Brahma Sutra talks only Nirgunam Brahman. No. It analyzes Sagunam Brahma as well. Ishvara also. And therefore, Atato Brahma Jignyasa means Atataha Nirguna Brahma Jignyasa cha Atataha Saguna Brahma Jignyasa cha. Both Brahmans, the Sagunam Brahman and Nirguna Brahman, are included. Here the problem will be what? Often the word Brahman is used without saying whether it is Nirgunam Brahma or Sagunam Brahma. Therefore, it is our job to find out that in what is the context. So those who read Brahma Sutra Bhashyam must be very alert. The word Brahman is used for Sagunam Brahman and also Nirgunam Brahman. That means the word Brahman is used for Ishvara also. Whereas we are used to only one way of thinking, that is Brahma means Nirguna. Ishvara is Saguna. But when we read Brahma Sutra and Bhashyam, we should get out of this orientation, because this is a mental makeup of most of the people. Nirgunam Brahman is generally referred to as Nyeyam Brahma and Saganam Brahma as Upasyam Brahma. So in Ikshati, the fifth Adhikaranam, and also in the Anandamaya Adhikaranam, sixth Adhikaranam, we had Nyeyam Brahma. In Antaradhikaranam, the seventh one, we have Upasyam Brahma, Saguna Brahma or Ishvara. Now the question is, what is the controversy here? So we should discuss the topic, and we should know why this debate is taken up at all. The controversy is because the Upanishad does not use the word Brahma in this section. Or the word Sagunam or Nirguna Brahman is also not used. On the other hand, the Upanishad uses the word Purushaha. Purushaha only. In Adhidaivata Upasana, the word is used as what? Aditya Anta Purushaha. And in Adhyatma Upasana, the word used is Akshi Anta Purushaha. So if the word Brahman is used, there would be no confusion or controversy. Okay. What is wrong then? The problem is, the word Purushaha can also refer to Jivaha also, and for Sagunam Brahman or Ishvara also. Therefore, the controversy is whether Purushaha refers to Ishvara or Jivaha. And our conclusion is Purusha Shabda refers to only Lord, Ishvara alone, who is the object of meditation. No Jiva can become an object of meditation. Therefore, the topic is Anta Purushaha, Jivaha va, Ishvaraha va. Ishvara or Jiva is the question, and our conclusion is Anta Purushaha is Ishvara only. We should take both Aditya Anta Purushaha and Akshi Anta Purushaha as well, and not any Jiva. And what is the logic? Tad Dharma Upadeshat, the Sutra says. Because all the virtues mentioned so far just now, all the virtues that we have just now spoken about in this section belong to whom? Belong to Ishvara only. Jiva doesn't have any of them. Therefore, what is the anumanam now? Anta Purushaha. Anta Purushaha is the Pakshaha. Purushaha, understood. And Anta Purushaha Ishvaraha, the Lord alone. Why? Taddharma Upadesha. Ishvara, Ishvara Guna Kathanateva. This is the general analysis of this sutra. Now we'll go to the word analysis. This sutra consists of how many words? Two words. One is antaha, and the second word is tadharmopadeshat, a compound word. Now let us take the first word, antaha. Antaha means aditya akshi antaha purushaha. Literally the word antaha means inside one. So from the context we should know, the one who is in the Surya Mandala and the one who is in the Akshi, in the eyes. Therefore antaha is equal to aditya akshi antaha purushaha. Aditya and akshi, aditya anta purushaha and akshi anta purushaha, which is mentioned actually in the sixth mantra of the sixth section of Chandogya, that is called antaraditya purushaha. Ata yade vetate adityasya shuklam bhaha saiva satayan neelam paraha krishnam tadamastat samata ya yeshontaraditya hiranmaya purushaha drishyate hiranyashmashruhu hiranyakeshaha apranasva sarvayeva suvarnaha. And in 1.7th section sutta mantra also, I just now mentioned those two mantras earlier. Ataya yeshontarak yeshontarakshini purushaha. This is the previous one, was aditya purushaha, yakshini purushaha. Drishyate sai bartha bartha samayta duktham tajajustat brahmam tasye tasya tadeva rupam yadamushya rupam yavamushya geshnau thau geshnau yannamatan namam. So both these mantras, the very same Lord is referred to as yeshaham antarakshini purushaha. So these two purushas are referred to in the sutra as antaha. Now we have to supply one word, that is Ishwaraha. Saguna Brahma, and it is na jivaha, it is not jivaha. And the next word is tad dharmopadeshat. Tad means tad refers to Ishwaraha. Dharmaha refers to all these virtues that we just now talked about. So the divine virtues or attributes, upadeshat, are mentioned in this Upanishad. Now what are the divine attributes mentioned here, which are applicable to Ishwara only and not to Jiva? That we have to see. Now we have to take the last three attributes first. Among the seven that we just mentioned, we'll take the last three. Sarva papa rahitatvam. Now Vyasacharya asks, freedom from all sins is attributable to Jiva or Ishwara? Jiva is in fact embodiment of all papas. How he can become papa rahitaha? Jiva sarva papa sahitaha. Ishwaraha eva ut nama sarva papa rahitaha, as mentioned in the Upanishad. Therefore, Aditya Purushaha, Akshi Purushaha, both refer to Ishwaraha only and not Jiva. Then the question is, word Akshi Purushaha may refer to ordinary Jiva who may have got lot of sins, but an exalted Jiva may be referred to as Aditya Devata, the status gained by extraordinary Punya Karma. Again, we should note in our Shastras, all the Devatas come under Jivahas, Jiva only. These are all things, important revelations in the Upanishads, in the Sutras. All Devas come under Jivas only. Indra Devata, Varuna Devata, Agni Devata, all those Devatas, they are all Jivas only, belonging to a higher category. Now, a Purva Pakshi asks, why not take Aditya Purusha as Aditya Devata, an exalted Jiva? And this exalted Jiva is Papa Rahitaha. A person who has gained that status due to exalted Punyams, he is no more born as an ordinary human being, but born as an exalted Aditya Devata, who has a status of presiding deity also. Presiding deity of what? Chakrusa Suryaha, Padyay, Sight, Rasanaya, Varunaha, Tatubodha. He is paparahitaha. Therefore, Purva Pakshi gives this suggestion. And our answer is what? You see the very Upanishad once again, and the Upanishad says, Sarvebhyaha papabhyaha uditaha. Simply put, sarva paparahitatvam. That means here we talk about a Purusham who is absolutely free from all papas. Whereas Aditya Purushaha may be an exalted Jiva and more punyavan than ordinary manushya. But remember, even that Devata has got a mixture of punya and papa. That is why he is only a devata. He has got birth, he has got death, he has got dukkham, he has got sukham, he has got papa, all of them. Because however much the punyam is, papam does not become absent, but becomes less and less. And even for Hiranyagarbha, who has got the highest status, even he may have 99% punyam, but has got maybe 1% papam or less. If he is fully free of papam, he would have been a liberated soul. But Hiranyagarbha also is subject to birth and death. We know Brahmaji's age is so big, but still it is finite. Therefore, Aditya Devata is only an exalted Jivaha. And only Ishwaraha, other than Aditya Devata, is free from all the papas. We are making subtle difference here. Aditya Purushaha is different from Aditya Surya Mandale Vartamana Ishwaraha. Ishwara present in the Surya Mandala. And what is the difference between Aditya Devata and Aditya Ishwara? Aditya Devata is only a Devata, exalted Jiva, who has attained that status because of Punya. Whereas Ishwara is not a Jiva at all. What is the reason? Sarva Papam Rahitatvam, that virtue is possible only for Ishwara and not for anyone else, even if they are Devatas. And what is the other virtue unique to Ishwara now? Sarvatmakaha. One who is in the form of the whole creation. And this virtue can belong to Ishwara only. As Ishwara is Jagat Karanam. And therefore, Jagat Karana Rupa Ishwaraha Eva Sarva Jiva Rupena Sarva Devata Rupena Sarva Jagat Rupena Cha Ishwaraha Eva Vartate. No Jiva can claim Sarvatmakatvam. Even Aditya Devata cannot be Vayu Devata. Vayu cannot be Agni Devata. The very fact that pujas are different, their vahanas are different, that shows for each of those devatas, they are not equal. And who is Ishwara? Ishwara is Aditya Rupena, Vayu Rupena, Sarvatmakaha Bhavati. In all rupas. And third is Sarva Vibhuti Matvam. All vibhutis, all glories go to Ishwara only. No devata can claim all the vibhutis. They have their vibhutis individually. Even jivas have a limited vibhuti also, but no jiva or devata have got all the mahimas or the glories of Ishwara. It is a symbol or clue to show that my very living is because of his glory only. And Ishwara Mahima alone makes me live and enjoy life. As Lord Krishna said, Ishwara Sarva Bhutanam Kriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. My living, very living is Ishwara's Mahima only. Therefore, Tad Dharmopadeshat Sarva Papa Rahitatvat Sarvatmakatvat Sarva Vibhutimatvat, Dharma Upadeshat, Aditya Purushaham, Akshi Purushahacha, Ishwaraham, Sagunam, Brahma Eva Bhavitum, Arhati, Na Jivaha, Na Devatava. The conclusion. So that's the meaning of the sutra. So now one Purupakshi raises an objection. Purupakshi always is raising objection. He says, he cannot accept Aditya and Akshi Purusha as Ishwara and it has got to be a Jiva or Devata only. Why? He gives reason also. When you talk of virtues, you take only the last four virtues that are convenient to you. You don't talk about the other four virtues. And if you, and the last three only you take, you didn't talk about the other four. And if you really analyze, it cannot belong to Ishwara at all. Number one, Aditya Purushatvam or Akshi Purushatvam, the first one we said. The Upanishad very clearly gives a location, namely Adityahava, Akshiva, whether it is Aditya or Akshiya, eyes, gives a specific location. And the Purupakshi says, location means what? Location is limitation. When you say location, it means it is only in that place and not anywhere else. Therefore, it is not Sarvagataha and only Parichinnaha. And if Purushaha refers to Ishwara, then Ishwara also becomes limited one. And so he says, location does not support Ishwara. It only supports Jivaha alone because he goes to higher lokas also. He travels. Therefore, location suits only Jiva. And the second virtue is what? Hiranmayatvam, Golden. Upanishad very clearly talks about body. Hiranmayatvam, it clearly indicates shariram and finitude. Therefore, the body, etc., can belong only to a Jiva or Devata. Ishvara is all pervading, and therefore he has to be but bodiless. In Bhagavad Gita also Krishna said, Maya tadamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshva vastitaha. The Lord says, I am avyakta murti. I am the Lord without any form at all. I am not Rama murti or Krishna murti or Narasimha murti. I am avyakta murti. Therefore, Hiranmayatvam also supports Jiva view only, not all-pervading Ishwara. Similarly, the next virtue is what? Pundarikakshatvam, lotus eyed. This also clearly refers to the eyes. And the one having organs should be a Jiva only, has to be limited. And so cannot be Ishwara, who is all-pervading. To have color, to have complexion, organs, locations, they are all to be limited. All of them favors only the Purvapakshi's view. And the next virtue is Urdhva Loka Kama Ishwaratvam and Adho Loka Kama Ishwaratvam. Clearly, two distinct Purushas have been talked about here, and each one has got only a limited area of power, limited jurisdiction. Since Aditya Purusha is Lord of only higher lokas, and Akshi Purusha is Lord of only lower lokas, so we have two Purushas with only limited powers. Whereas Ishvara is Sarva Loka Kama Ishvara and is omnipotent and therefore also cannot refer to Ishvara. Therefore, limited power also indicates Jiva or Devata only and not Ishvara. That is his argument. So what are in support of Purva now? Location, Adharatvam. Number two, form, Rupatvam and limited power. Aishwarya Maryada. Both Urdhva Loka and Adho Loka, this jurisdiction has limited. Thus, four arguments are in Purvapakshi's favor. Antapurushaha, na Ishwaraha, Parichinnat, because of limitation, cannot be Ishwara, should be only Purush, Kuli Devata or Jiva. Whereas Siddhanti says, he has only three. Now, Siddhanti has to give an answer, which we will see next actually. For the Shankaracharya gives the answer, he says, yes, it is true. Ishwara cannot have and does not have any limitation. And therefore, he does not have a location, he does not have a form, he does not have limited power also. They are all true. But at the same time, the Shastras can prescribe all the three for the sake of Upasana, of the Upasaka. Upasana Artham, it can be prescribed. Because the unlimited cannot be conceived by an individual Upasaka. And for the sake of Upasana, Shastra can prescribe varieties of colors, location, form and all that. Therefore, the first answer is what? Upasana artham sarvam natum vastavikam. Not reality, but upasana artham. They are not factual and are prescribed for upasana only. And the second answer he gives is, even though Ishvara does not have a particular location, form and all that, because of maya power, power of maya, Ishvara can assume a particular form, a particular color. And Ishvara can appear in a particular location also, which is known as avataram. It is not mere imagination of a devotee. He can imagine also. And in addition to that, for the sake of the devotee, if Ishvara can create the whole world, what is the difficulty for him to become or take a form of Krishna, Rama, Narasimha for the sake of his devotee? Therefore, Ishvara can assume mayika shariram, mayika adharaha, mayika aishwarya, all of them he can assume. Tasmat maya avashatim sarvam sambhavati. What is the pramanam for that also? Again Bhagavad Gita. Ajo besannavyayatma bhutanam ishwaropisan prakritim swamadhishtaya sambhavami atma mayaya. With the help of maya, I appear in several forms. Some are for the sake of the whole society and some of them are for the particular devotee also. For Prahlada, the Lord has to instantly appear as Narasimha from a pillar. he could do that. Because of his vibhuti, because of his own glory, he can do that. Therefore, if there is a Hiranmaya Ishwara Upasaka, the Lord gives darshanam and bless that Upasaka as Hiranya Smashruhu, Hiranya Keshaha, Apranakate Suvarnaha, up to his nail, all Swarnamayam. Lord is all Swarnamayam. So nice to see. Therefore, all the seven virtues are possible only for Ishwara. Therefore, if you take Purusha as Ishwara, one can take the last three virtues as well as the first four virtues also. And if you take Purusha as Jiva, you can explain only first four virtues and cannot explain the last three virtues. That means what? Purva Pakshi can explain the first four virtues and not the last three virtues. Whereas Vedantin can explain all the seven virtues. So how do we do that? We take the last three virtues or the innate virtues of the Lord. And the first four virtues are Mayika virtues assumed by the Lord for the sake of Upasana and for the sake of the devotee. Because devotee has so many desires. He may have difficulties like Prahlada had. In all those times, the Lord takes avatars. The Lord also presents himself in various forms. Right from Matsya Kurma, all those avatars Lord took. There are so many avatars the Lord took for the sake of the devotees and also for the sake of the entire society, for the entire world. And therefore, Akshi Anta Purushaha Ishwaraha Eva. Akshi Anta Purushaha is Ishwara only. Why? Tad Dharmopadeshat. So within this, the first sutra of this Adhikaranam is over. And now the second sutra of the Adhikaranam is given in the next sutra that we will see now. We can start maybe, but we will continue with that because we will not be able to complete because it's only already 9:22. I will take some portion of that and then we will start with that thing now. And now the next sutra is Beda Vyapadesha Chanyaha. Beda Vyapadeshat Cha Anyaha. That is how it is split. Beda Vyapadeshat Cha Anyaha. So before going to the sutra in this detail, now we have to make some general observation. I think I'll be able to cover a little bit of that. This we should remember throughout the study of Brahma Sutra. And Vedanta without this, when we study either Vedanta or Brahma Sutra, without this, the whole Vedanta could be confusing. It is with respect to our approach towards Ishwara. How does Advaitin look at Ishwara? Because often Advaitin's approach appears contradictory, if not understood properly. Our approach is from Paramarthika Drishti and the other one approach is from the Paramarthika Drishti and the other one is Vyavaharika Drishti. One is the absolute standpoint and the other one is empirical standpoint. And from absolute standpoint, we say other than Nirgunam Brahman, everything else is Mithya. That means Jiva, Jagat and even Ishwara is Mithya. Because Ishwara is Mithya, Jiva, Jagat, Karanabhutaha. Because the Jiva, Jagat, Karanabhutam is what? Mithya, Ishwara. Therefore, when the topic is absolute, Advaitins negate Ishwara also. Ishwara Nisheda, along with Jiva and Jagat. Upashanta, Jagat, Jiva, Sishya, Acharya, Ishwaraha, Brahmam. In Advaita Makaranda, a great poet called Lakshmidhara Kavi, he writes so nicely. Upashanta, Jagat, Jiva, Sishya, Acharya, Ishwaraha, Brahmam. Satasiddham, Anadi, Antam, Paripurna, Mahammahaha. Upashanta, Jagat, Jiva, Sishya, Acharya, Ishwaraha, Brahmam. There are five Brahmas, confusions or delusions. What are the five? Jagat, Jiva, Shishya, Acharya, Ishwara. All are Brahmas. All the five are Mithyas, he says. So from the Paramarthika Drishti, these five are negated. Not only that, from the standpoint of Paramarthika Swarupa, Advaita also establishes Jiva Ishwara Aikyam. both are Atma or Brahman. So these are all the two points. So one is Aikyam and all others are Mithya. But the very Advaitin, when he comes to Vyabhakarika Drishti, he is very much particular to establish an Ishwara, Aishwara. That means from Vyabhakarika Drishtiyam, there is Jivam, there is Jagat, and there is Ishwara also. Therefore, there are three tattvams. And among them, Ishwara is Karana Tattvam, and Jiva and Jagat are Karya Tattvam. And because of these three principles, he also establishes that each one is different from the other. Jiva is different from Jagat and Ishwara. Ishwara is different from Jiva and Jagat. That means Advaitin very vehemently argues Jiva Ishwara Bheda from Vyabhakarika Drishti. From the practical point of view, he says Jiva and Ishwara are different. Therefore, from Vyabhakarika angle, he is particular about two things, namely Ishwara, Ishwara Astitvam, and Ishwara Siyam, Jiva Bhinnatvam, both. And from Paramarthika angle, there is no difference. From Paramarthika angle, what he says, Ishwara Nastitvam cha, Ishwara Jiva Aikyam cha. From the Paramarthika Drishti, there is no Ishwara also, there is no Jiva Ishwara Aikyam also. And in Brahma Sutra, we get both of them in equal numbers. Both Vyavaharika and Paramarthika angles are discussed. Therefore, in every Adhikarana, every topic, we should be very careful to note that what is exactly meant in each place. Otherwise, the very relevance one cannot understand. For example, in this present Adhikarana, here Purusha is the topic that is discussed. We want to find out whether Purusha refers to Jiva or Ishwara. And one may wonder, why should we analyze this at all? After all, in Vedanta, what do we establish? Jiva Ishwara Aikyam, right? When Jiva and Ishwara are identical in Vedanta, how can we raise such a question? Because Jiva Ishwara, Ishwara Yohom, Aikyate, this controversy should not be there at all. One can see relevance of this Adhikaranam only if one understands that this Adhikaranam is from Vyavaharika Drishti and not Paramarthika Drishti. And therefore, in this Adhikaranam, Jiva and Ishwara are not identical at Vyavaharika level. Therefore, we have a controversy. Several such occasions we come across in Brahma Sutra. That is because often the Purvapakshi happens to be a Sankhya who negates Ishwara. If Sankhya negates from Paramarthika Drishti, we will appreciate him. Because we also negate from Paramarthika Drishti. The problem is, Sankhya negates Ishwara from Vyavaharika angle also. Actually, he doesn't even take a Paramarthika angle. That means, Sankhya accepts Jiva, Jagat, but not Jiva, Jagat, Karanabhuta, Vyavaharika, Ishwara, he does not accept. Therefore, when we argue with him, our problem is not Paramarthika Drishti, but from Vyavaharika Drishti. Our main difference is what? Vedantin says Vyavaharika Drishti Ishwara is there. And they negate Vyavaharika Ishwara. Therefore, Sankhya is atheist and we are theist. Therefore, when we negate Sankhya philosophy, we are at Vyavaharika level. And then Ishwara is existent. And Ishwara is different from Jiva. Therefore, in this context, what is the meaning of Purusha? Purusha is Ishwara, who is totally different from Jiva, because Ishwara is Sarva Papa Rahitaha and Jiva is Sarva Papa Sahitaha. Ishwara is Sarvatmakaha, Jiva is Alpatmakaha. Ishwara is Sarva Vibhutiman and Jiva is Alpa Vibhutiman or Avibhutiman. Therefore, Ishwara is different from Jiva. And this particular sutra, second sutra that I just now introduced, Ishwara is very much different from Jiva. And we will quote Shruti Pramanam itself, which says, Tat Tvam Asi. From this, we get a corollary also. Since we are going to accept Vyavaharika Ishwara, our attitude to Ishwara also should not be casual, which may very well happen to a Vedantic student. This is very common confusions. Many Vedantic students can have it. It cannot be a casual approach. Because all the time, consistently, we negate Ishwara from Paramarthika angle, saying it is Mithya. Then we should dwell on that word Mithya and ask the question, what is the meaning of the word mithya, because the word mithya also has got two meanings, namely one is called pratibhasika mithya, another is called vyavaharika mithya. Pratibhasika mithya means imagination, like dream or mental projection, and vyavaharika mithya means it is as real as the world, it is not a mental projection or imagination. Ishvara has as much reality as the whole world has, unlike dream. So, and to remember this, take any object of the world which is dearest to you and think being a situation or a event, whatever it is, and imagine the person loses that thing and you replace that thing with Ishvara and attach so much importance to that object. One may even say, after learning Vedanta, I can brush aside my close relations also. And if you ask the question to him, whether you are ready to lose your knowledge, because with that knowledge only you came to this particular attitude now. So are you willing to give up your knowledge also, lose your knowledge? Then one will say, I am ready to lose anything except this knowledge. But from Brahma Drishti, knowledge is also mithya, because it is enjoyed by the mind. And when the mind is mithya, how the knowledge can be real? As you expect, mithya knowledge, so much respect we give to that. We should give to Ishvara also. So this is a topic which can be of some interest to us. So we will take it up in the next class, that is tomorrow. Yo veda dausvara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilina sega parasamaheshwara purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vasishyate om shanti shanti. Shanti.